The Buddhist read a line from the scroll. The whole group sang out as one, a sing-song, but not a repeat. It was Cyclo. The old monk read another line. The group sang out the translation in Cyclo. Johnny was incredulous. The performance went right on, sing-songing along.
"He's reading a language that was once called Pali,"
whispered the coordinator.
"It's the original language in which the canons of Buddhism were written. The monastery, for some reason, had in its possession a huge library of all the quoted tenets and words of Gautama Siddhartha Buddha, the man who started that religion about 3,600 years ago, and they are literate in that language, but it is extinct. So we got a Jinko
instruction machine,"
finished Johnny,
"and taught them Cyclo from scratch.
And they converted it back to Pali. That Cyclo mine site down there is pretty smashed, but it had a dictionary and some other books in a fireproof safe, and they've been going like a racehorse ever since, so we can talk to them."
The sing-song was going on. They were speaking with a Chinko accent, just like Johnny and the pilots.
"You like that word, Johnny?"
said Chief Monk Ananda in Cyclo.
"They not only sing it out, they also talk it really well."
Johnny applauded them loudly, and they cheered. He knew what he was going to propose here.
"Is this all of them?"
said Johnny. No, there were about 40 more, but it was quite a scramble down here from the monastery. It took ropes and climbing skill and help from the Sherpas. The idea of a religious teacher's words of peace, as he had heard them in that sing-song, being put into Cyclo, where all such sentiments went unused, was marvelous to Johnny. Some musicians had recovered their instruments and began to play on small horns and long horns and drums. Some women had gotten fires going, and their slight amounts of food were being warmed. The pilots came back from the mine site with an ore carrier. Johnny got massive amounts of help, and they manhandled the patrol craft into the big plane and put the Tolneb in it, very securely strapped down.
"There's a lot of aircraft down there,"
said Johnny's co-pilot.
"The Scots that hit it must have set off an explosion in the compound. They must have blown the breeze gas. The domes are scattered in pieces over about 5 acres. They didn't bother to blow up the ammunition and fuel dumps. The hangars are on a lower level. There are about 80 or 90 battle planes in there. Some are singed, but they look all right. There's a lot of tanks and machinery. And there are about 50 of these ore carriers. Lord knows why. Bunch of shop and storehouse material. Looks like they shipped a lot of bauxite from here. No live Cyclos."
Johnny made up his mind. He went to his plane and put the radio on planetary. He called the American base, Dunaldin. Johnny remembered Dunaldin's joke.
"You didn't know I had 15 daughters. It's quite urgent they wed."
"Got it,"
said Dunaldin and broke the connection. Johnny knew he would have 15 pilots, even though not all were graduated, within the next 10 or 12 hours. Dunaldin knew where he was. The reception had gotten going now. People were over their shock. They were serving food. They were smiling as they passed him. More bows. Two escort planes were aloft. Johnny's and the third plane were ready to scramble.